This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it is 6:18 and we're cutting into Rose Royce and Funk Factory to hopefully have with us on the line constitutional lawyer Lim Wei Jet. Sorry about that, guys. We are adjusting to some technical things. I don't know the word for it. But yeah, that's basically what we're doing. Anyway, we have Wei Jet back, hopefully. Wei Jet, thank you so much for joining us again. So let's start with that question. What is your take on calls by opposition MPs for Parliament to be deemed an essential service?
There is no doubt that Parliament is an essential service. All across the Commonwealth, Parliaments continue to play their role to supervise and to hold the executive accountable. In my view, it would appear that the Parliament is the only government arm now that is not functioning. The executive is operating, the court is allowing certain civil and criminal cases to proceed. Why is the legislature being singled out and not allowed to operate, befitting its status as one of the three arms of government? That is the thing that the government needs to answer us.
So technically speaking then, is the session on May 18th considered a parliamentary sitting if there is no debate?
It is technically a parliamentary sitting. However, the law is clear in that if the Prime Minister postpones Parliament in this manner, namely to hold only a one-day sitting across a long period of time, which would effectively render Parliament unable to perform its function to supervise the executive, that is unconstitutional and that is unlawful. So whilst this one-day sitting may on the surface comply in a very technical, pedantic sense to the Constitution, if someone challenges it to say that it's not constitutional, because in effect you are preventing Parliament from functioning, then I would say that there's a good case to mount.
Right. And from your point of view then, what are some of the most urgent matters that require the attention of a parliamentary sitting that would go beyond Cabinet's capacity to act without the input of MPs?
Well, there are a lot of pressing matters on the part of Parliament to hold the executive accountable. For example, there are issues on the distribution of food aid. Some people are saying that what is actually being delivered does not commensurate to the actual value that the government has announced on this food aid. There are also issues on the financial stimulus packages that are being announced by the government. Has it been tabled by Parliament? Has it got sanction from Parliament? These kind of bills, supplementary supply bills, need to be tabled and debated as soon as possible. There are issues such as, for example, a moratorium on all legal action for contractual breaches that can be tabled in Parliament, like the way the Singapore government has already done. So these are legal, innovative measures which the government can implement, which you cannot do by giving a press conference to reporters. You need to pass a bill in Parliament, you know. And there are also complaints of people out there of tenants being ejected by landlords. Singapore has passed a bill to say that, you know, for this duration of the COVID-19 outbreak for the next 6 months, we will not allow landlords to eject tenants because we want to protect people's right to housing in this very difficult period. So there are many very pressing issues which the government cannot do without tabling a bill in Parliament, without refining policy in Parliament.
And so on that note, right, if the Cabinet continues to make executive decisions without passing bills in Parliament for a prolonged period of time, is this unconstitutional?
Well, it depends on the decision that was made. So certain acts bestow the minister to enact certain regulations that does not require the government to go back to Parliament to enact a new law. So for example, under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act, it actually allows the Minister of Health to issue regulations on an infected area on the control of movement of people. So insofar as that is concerned, there's nothing unlawful or illegal about that. But there are certain measures taken by the government. So for example, they have recently reduced the threshold for winding up of companies. A lot of people have been questioning, is that even legal? Because you have not amended the Companies Act and you are merely giving into effect that particular policy through a regulation by the minister itself. So there are many decisions by the ministers which can be called to question, because those kind of decisions can technically only be made if there's an amendment to the parent act and not through, you know, promulgating or gazetting regulations on just like that.
So is there any way for MPs to force Parliament to convene, or could it be done, for example, by the Agong perhaps?
Unfortunately, under our constitution and the Westminster system, the Prime Minister has the prerogative to delay and postpone Parliament in this manner. So MPs technically cannot pass a resolution to compel Parliament to be convened. In fact, they can't even attend Parliament to pass whatever resolution they want. They can, of course, petition the Prime Minister. They can garner public support to make sure that the Prime Minister convenes Parliament. As to the question of whether the young Diputan Agong can call for Parliament to be convened, unfortunately, His Royal Highness can't. He has to always act in accordance with the advice of the Prime Minister in this instance. But he could also very well, you know, give his recommendation to the Prime Minister to convene Parliament for more than one day.
Wei Jiat, thank you so much for breaking that down for us. That was constitutional lawyer Lim Wei Jiat talking about the legalities of the upcoming one-day parliamentary sitting that's going to take place on the 18th of May. If you have any thoughts, again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.